The Baseball Chatter Crew is once again back for a brand new episode. This week, we are breaking down the second week of the MLB season with Shaw. Some amazing stuff. I think we saw two no-hitters that were just a hit-by-pitch away from being perfect games. Another three-homer performance by a guy who's hit four homers in a single game in the past, and this is now their third different team that they have a three-homer club on. Find out all of this and the breakdown of week two in MLB season on another edition of Baseball Chatter. Alrighty, a little short-handed here. Don't know if we're going to get the third member of our crew, but we are excited. Jacob and I breaking down week two of MLB baseball. Jacob, it was quite the eventful week. Would you say
so? Yeah, it was.
Two no-hitters in the same week?
Yeah, that was insane because I thought the no-hitter was last week, but turns out it happened Friday. So it was after our episode, so that counts as this week. So it's a pretty big week for baseball.
It was beyond crazy. I mean, so to begin week two of baseball, we have Joe Musgrove going out there against the Rangers, goes nine innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts, and one hit batter. And I think it was maybe the second or third inning, one of the early innings where he hit somebody. Yeah. From the Texas Ball Club there, gets the first no-no in San Diego Padres history. Are you surprised that the Padres didn't have already a no-hitter in the books?
Not really. I mean, you know the Padres. Don't really get that much stuff going for them.
Yeah, when you think of the Padres, you don't really think of, like, great pitchers.
Yeah, that's true. I think it was perfect that Musgrove was the one threw it to. Diego native himself.
Yep.
Yeah. So it all fit the bill.
Big story there. Big story. And even exciting for me because he was my San Diego Padre player to watch. If I said, you know, if the Padres are going to take over the Dodgers in the NL West and win a division title, you know, we already know what Darvish and Snell could do, but what are these three, four, five guys in the order as long as the rotation goes? As far as the rotation goes, what are these guys going to do? And Musgrove was one of the guys that I circled in who's got a high strikeout rate, guy that could go get it, and no. That was to start the week. And then Sunday we get a huge, huge pitching matchup. Two future Hall of Famers, one lefty, one righty, both of them filthy, Kershaw versus Scherzer. Were you dialed in and watching that one, or did you miss it?
This happened when I missed it. Sunday. I didn't watch it. Yeah. I didn't watch this one.
Yeah. I missed part of it. I did get a good glimpse of it, saw the highlights and stuff, but it was as advertised. You know, sometimes you get these pitching matchups, Jake, and you know, we're looking at like a 6-7 game in like the third, fourth inning. And you're like, what the heck happened here? Only one run allowed amongst these two guys who each went six innings deep. And I think the game ended like 3-0 in the favor of the Dodgers. I mean, so Kershaw goes six innings, six Ks, picks up his second win, and Scherzer goes six innings, only three hits allowed, gave up one earned, struck out five, picks up his first loss of the year. And then some surprising stuff. Kenley Jansen comes out with a new glove, a new walkout song. And he throws 95 and 94 consistently. What'd you think of the new look, Kenley?
I mean, he even showed up yesterday, Wednesday, in a tight game. It's looking pretty good. I mean, his command's kind of getting there, but he's still a little bit on the iffy spot. But yeah, the new look, Kenley. He's looking good. Maybe not the closer, but a good high leverage pitcher. We definitely need.
100%. And then one of your favorite guys, JD Martinez. Tell me what he did this week.
He added to his collection of three homer games.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Orioles on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
A guy that's hit a four homer game before. I think he did it against the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken, when he was with Arizona at Dodger Stadium. So, this guy mashes the ball. I think our good friend and fellow guest on Baseball Chatter, Derek Peck, put out that this is now the third different ball club where he's had a three-homer game with.
That's insane.
He did it with the Diamondbacks, obviously. Now the Red Sox, and I want to say he did it with Detroit as well. So this guy's a home run hitter. Ages like a fine wine, and is going to put up another 30-40 homer performance again. But absolutely mashed the Orioles. Almost call them the O's.
Yeah. Call
them O's, you know. Then a guy, Luke Weaver, who has kind of been, you know, hit or miss type thing. Never really was able to play a full season. Former first round draft pick by St. Louis. A guy that I thought was going to be a stud coming out back in like 2017 when he first started coming up, but only had one full season. You know, he's battled injuries in the past. Goes up there against a tough Cincinnati team who at the time was, you know, winners of like five straight, putting up like 10 runs straight. And he goes seven innings, one hit, eight Ks to pick up his first win of the year. Good stuff for him. You know, the weekend, we saw a lot of different things. The A's fought back. They beat the Astros 2 out of 3. The Braves, we talked about the Phillies and the Braves, you know, trying to see if the Phillies were going to do their thing this year and run it up. They ran into a brick wall against the Braves. Would have lost all three games there if it wasn't for a call at home plate in the ninth inning on a sacrifice fly where Alec Bohm appears to have never touched home on the slide. Did you see that play?
Yeah, I saw the aftermath. I thought it was crazy. That replay's always like been wild to me. I mean, I know the Dodgers had their fair share of like, really, you're going to replay it. Something that's clearly, not an out and stuff like that happens. I don't know. The replay to me is just weird. It feels like there's no way this thing's legit.
Yeah.
Like there's too many mishaps and I don't know. It's insane. But yeah, and it's crazy because this week too, a lot of like heat has been coming at the umpires. A lot of stuff. I know. I forgot what game was it. Oh, it was with the Mets, right? Was it Conforto took a pitch right down the middle that hit his elbow?
Yeah.
To walk the runner in. So a lot of crazy stuff's been happening.
Crazy stuff there. So who was it that it was the Phillies and Mets, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Phillies and Mets. And then did you see the next game? I think it was the next game, maybe the same game. Jose Alvarado throws 100 miles per hour at Conforto's head. Did you see that?
I think so. I think so. I think I was watching that one. Was it the day they had the doubleheader?
I think so.
Or was it because you know what's so crazy? They also I know the Mets broadcast team was they were getting upset because something happened with the rule with the runner on second base in extra innings.
Yeah.
Where Francisco Lindor was brought up, even though he wasn't the last out. I forgot what it was. I was gonna look into it, but got caught up. But some crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, mate. What if you know if you sub for that last out in the next inning?
Yeah, I think they put the pitcher in.
Something like that.
They put the pitcher in, which allowed them to put in whoever they wanted. I think
that's bizarre.
They put Lindor in, and it ended up becoming an RBI.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah,
but Alvarado threw 100 up and in at his head. And then hits him on the next pitch. And the Mets were upset. You know, benches kind of stayed calm. Alvarado was, you know, jawing at the bench. Dominic Smith was saying, hey, you know, you threw at his head. Come on.
Twice.
Don't do that, you know. But as you mentioned, Conforto reached out, got hit. And it is what it is. But it's crazy. I think looking at, like, this divisional rivalries already – brewing here, and we're just 2 weeks in, so we tensions between the Phillies and the Mets, right? And then the NL Central is a whole nother ball game there. We saw the Reds and the Cardinals get into it already with the hard slide at home and Castellanos, you know, yelling in the pitcher's face, things like that. we also saw a different people, you know, coming in where who was it this week? It was the Brewers and the Cubs getting into it with Contreras getting hit like 10 times or something.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then they threw at Brandon Woodruff. So it's crazy stuff going on. What can you say?
The rivalries are insane. They make like,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think the rivalries like division wise are, they make the games 10 times better. Cause I was going to say, you saw what the White Sox and the Indians did these past 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute pitchers duel between. Yeah. So
Giolito and Bieber go at it.
Division rivalry.
It's good. Baseball's in good hands. And the fact that you have this, it just shows you like the type of players that are in MLB right now that are actually going out there and wanting to win in just week two of the season. Like literally tension is flaring already. And we normally don't see this until like maybe September where teams are trying to push for a playoff spot, or maybe those midsummer games where, you know, you get some random stuff here. You got some teams that are like selling, some teams that are buying, and once in a while things get heated, but
yeah,
week two and we're going. Now let's take a look at the standings here. We'll start with the NL West. The Dodgers on top of the throne at 10-2, Giants 8-4, Padres 9-5, Arizona 4-8, Colorado 3-9. The Dodgers at the top, Giants doing pretty well at second. They've won two straight, and Padres find themselves at third. Losing Fernando Tatis early on thus far, but is scheduled to be back actually tomorrow with the start of our first series between the Dodgers and the Padres. So interesting stuff there.
Gonna be good.
Dodgers just rolling through everybody right now, coming off a sweep against the Washington Nationals at home on ring ceremony day. And then looking to wrap up a 4-game sweep against the Rockies today on Jackie Robinson Day. What do you think about the NOS? Pretty simple.
Giants kind of surprised seeing them up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But pretty good. Pretty good all around.
Man, they're winning some close ball games. I think Jake McGee has like 4 saves already, something like that. So pitching's holding up, offense doing their job. The NL East, the New York Mets got the late start. You know, they started late because the Nationals had to, you know, push back their season due to COVID. But here they are, 5-3, the only team above 500 right now. The Phillies, who came out really hot, have lost 3 straight. So remember, we were like, hey, let's take a look at this pitching of the Phillies. They get demolished by the Braves 2 out of 3, which we talked about the slide. It could have been 3 straight. And then they get swept by the Mets here in the second series. So could have taken 6 straight L's after this. And here they are 6-6 after a 5-1 start. Not looking too good for the Phillies.
This is the Phillies we were expecting, especially the ones you were expecting.
This is the Phillies team I was talking about. I said this is going to be the do or die week. And you know what? I know it's only week two, but this is the team you're going to get. This is the Phillies team. Week one was just an outlier. In third place, the Marlins 5-7, run differential of 0. So they're just kind of like dead center and everything. Atlanta, surprisingly, 5-8 with the run differential of -5. The pitching hasn't held up. The offense has been better as of late. And then the Nationals 3-6 at the bottom. What do you think about this NL East? I think it's just way too early right now, except for the Phillies.
I mean, well, I told you this was honestly, didn't I say this would be a 5-team race?
Was it?
And then you guys are like, I don't know about all this. I don't know about all that.
5 teams?
I mean,
like
honestly, the Nationals. You got to give the Nationals. I mean, Strasburg and Scherzer. That should be 2 dubs. Yeah. At least every week.
Yeah, and then you had Ben Lester coming soon.
Yeah.
So
the Braves, too, they can take it. I mean, I honestly think it's just who's going to heat up next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how many you lose against the hottest team in the East.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be that. You got whoever does the best against their divisional opponents is going to win that division.
I got to see what they play. But next week, for sure, we'll come back to the East and see what's up again. Because I feel like this one's going to be the one that's always who's first this week, who's first next week.
So Phillies were first week one, Mets are first week two. Could we have the Braves atop next week? Who knows? NL Central, two teams tied up top, 7-5 apiece, the Reds and the Brewers. Cardinals sit at 6-6. Chicago Cubs 5-7 with a run differential of minus 20, the worst in that division. Pirates 5-8 at the bottom of that division. What do you think about the NL Central?
I don't know. I feel like the Cubs are underperforming big time, especially
Jock Pop.
Well, not him. That's how he usually plays, though, right?
Yeah. You know, he's like, he's going to bat 220, hit 30 homers.
It's
his MO. Yeah, but I mean, you haven't seen much from Chris Bryant, haven't seen much from Anthony Rizzo, haven't seen something from the core that you were talking about that they still have. Yeah. I'm kind of sad that I put the Reds. I think I put the Reds fourth, and I'm kind of sad that I did that because I really like the way that they're playing. And Castellanos is doing a great job leading that ball club at the forefront of it.
Yeah, the Brewers are actually
holding up. The Brewers are nice too. Cardinals middle of the road right now. I still think that they are the team to beat in this division. But it's going to be exciting. This is another one of those divisions where I think we're going to get different people left and right. So here we have, we're going to be admitting Lennon into the call right now. So Lennon, we've just wrapped up all of the National League standings right now, getting into the American League now. American League East, hottest team in baseball other than the Dodgers. Actually, we're going for 10 straight wins today and came up just one run short. Ended up losing in walk-off fashion.
Did they lose?
Yeah. They were down 3-0.
You know what's so crazy?
Verdugo, bases clearing double, and then they lose it in the ninth. What was crazy?
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yesterday at night, I was like, you know what? I was talking to Jordan. I don't know if I told him this, but we were talking about sports gambling, and I was like, yeah, you know, usually when the team's hot, you should bet on them to lose because, you know, the more wins, the more it means that they have a higher chance of losing.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to go and put whoever they're going to going up against. I'm going to bet on them. And calling it Red Sox losing. No, I didn't.
Tough.
Yeah.
Tough. So the Red Sox, 9-4 after losing three straight against the Orioles and like, okay, it went 9 straight wins, almost had 10. Still at top of the division, Toronto Blue Jays at 6-6. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Cause I got the little spinning wheel on my thing. 6-6 Blue Jays, 5-7. The Yankees underperforming, 5-7. The Rays, 5-8. The Orioles. So kind of everybody just jumbled right there. Any surprises in the AL East, guys?
I'll give you guys props. You know, the Blue Jays are doing a lot better than what I expected. They're having a blast out there.
They're hanging tough.
For sure. Yeah, they're having fun.
They're hanging tough for sure.
Yeah, they're able to slug it out. You know, I saw the Yankees versus the Blue Jays. I don't know if their series is still going on, but I know Judge and Bo were kind of trading homers.
Yeah, and I think Bo Bichette, walk-off big fly today.
Was it today? Didn't he hit one? It was today.
I think it was
today. Didn't he hit one yesterday too?
I think it was today. It might have been yesterday. I don't know. My head kind of gets clouded on these walk-offs. But Bo Bichette.
No, there's so much to happen.
The youngsters are smacking right now. I tell you, 6-6, with the way they've been playing, they should be lower in this division. And the fact that they're still right there is a good sign because this division has been all sorts of crazy right now and whacked out. But yeah. And the Red Sox are a huge surprise right now. I don't think they'll be able to maintain this. I don't think they'll maintain this, but kudos to them because, I mean, the pitching has been great. The offense has been great. The clutch hitting factor, which absolutely means nothing if you actually, like, talk about clutchness. We'll get into that maybe another episode. Sorry. The old geezer is getting mad at me now talking about clutch is a factor. Anyway, clutch hitting for you geezers, they're doing it. So good stuff for them. AL Central. So the Kansas City Royals sit atop there, tied with the Cleveland team. KC is 6-4, Cleveland 7-5. Interesting fact, though, the Royals, even though they're 6-4, them and the Dodgers are the only teams thus far, 2 weeks in, who have yet to lose a series. And I know it's only been like, what, 3-4 series is in there. But yeah, potential World Series.
Angels were, or okay. who was the last team? I know there was three. Was it the Astros?
I don't know. I think the A's took 2 out of 3 this past weekend against the Astros.
Astros died.
I don't know who it was exactly, but it's just the Royals and the Dodgers.
Oh my goodness!
Who have
I looked over at the AL West?
You saw that? I told you the Angels are doing it.
No. Well,
let's get in there first.
We'll get there. But the Royals, definitely surprise team up there. Detroit 6-6. And then the Twins and the White Sox right now. Take a snapshot of this. They're going to be started from the bottom. Now we're here type thing. Both of them 6-7 at the bottom of that. And both of them have the highest run differential in the division. The White Sox at plus 16, the Twins makes at no plus sense. 13. Which tells you, you know, they're smacking and then they're losing some weird iffy ball games here. Definitely some outlier stuff happening here. Detroit has won.
Yeah, they smack up bad pitching, but get absolutely shut down.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's going to change. Obviously, this is Cleveland's doing a lot better than I thought they would be doing. Shane Bieber.
Me too.
I mean, Shane Bieber's a great pitcher. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't think he was going to be able to follow it up with as how well he did last year. I didn't really buy into the Bieber fever type thing. But this guy's probably, I mean, we put a post out there on Instagram. This guy, I think, is the best pitcher in the American League right now, hands down.
Nah, I still got to give my money on Cole.
American League? Yeah, I would say so too, Billy.
Yeah.
Cole, a good second.
All right, Lennon, I know you're dying to get into the AL West. It's not the Angels at the top of the board. It's the Seattle Mariners, 8-5 right now at the top.
8-5.
Angels, I don't even know who they've 7-5. Houston,
yeah.
Houston is 6-6. Oakland, winners of 4 straight, are 5-7 now after an atrocious 0-6, almost 0-7 start.
Yeah.
And then Texas 5-7 at the bottom of that.
Who was it that got them their first dub? Mitch Moreland.
Mitch the Glitch Moreland.
I'm going to buy his jersey.
So which one for the A's, for the Red Sox, the Padres?
A's.
A's.
All right, I'm just going to get a custom Dodger Mitch Moreland jersey.
Just get a Dodger
slap
one.
Slap his name on there.
Moreland on the back, please.
But, they turned it. They were able to turn the momentum because, you know, it kind of sucks. I mean, well, you always said you still believe that they are the best rotation in the AL West and –
the offense is
finally
just starting
to click
right now.
Yeah.
The offense is just starting to click right now. The pitching wasn't that bad.
0-5 to start the season?
0-6. 0-6. And if it wasn't, I mean, they should have lost that last game.
They lost to the Dodgers.
They should have lost that last game when Bauer was pitching. They just came back. I think that was the Kenley blown save.
Oh, no.
And they go 1-6. And then after that, they lose the next one, and then they've rattled off 4 straight wins and don't look now, but next week we could be talking about the A's at the top of this division. The Angels definitely turning some heads, 7-5. They've lost 2 straight, run differential of -4.
They lost the last game against the Royals.
Astros, the only team in this division with a run differential in the positives at +11. And yet they've lost 5 straight games.
Wow.
Probably the coldest team in all of MLB, except for who else we got? The Rockies have also lost 5 straight.
They were the hottest team, but now it's switched around so quick.
So, we're coming in. We're coming in to last week's episode, Astros, Phillies, top hottest teams. And then now, two of the driest, coldest teams that we see here. So, I mean, a week can turn
that's
around.
That's what a 1 week can do.
Huge. I mean, the Mariners 8-5. Like,
Angels lost.
I don't even know who's on their team right now. What's Kyle Seager popping like 50 homers already?
What's
going on over there in Seattle? Who are they playing?
They swept the Orioles.
The Orioles shouldn't even be getting swept, though. I don't know.
Not by them.
I remember the Orioles were holding the Red Sox to like one hit their first series to open up the season. And now the Red Sox are one of the hottest teams, and the Orioles are sitting dead last in their division.
That's crazy. let's take a look at some of these stats here now around the league. Would you guys guess who's leading the league in homers right now? Just guess. Don't look.
Is it Byron Buxton?
Is it in Buxton? Yeah.
Close. He's tied for third with five with like
hold on.
Different people. This player has seven bombs already. Seven bombs.
Was it JD?
No, not JD. Good guess, though.
Who?
He's one of the players tied for five in third place.
It's not Mike Trout. He has like four. Yes.
Yeah, it's Ohtani.
Seven bombs.
Ohtani has like four, huh?
Ronald Acuna Jr. has seven bombs already.
Oh, yes. Seven? Gosh.
He's been crashing left and right. He's batting .442 on the year, seven homers, 14 RBIs, three stolen bases, an OPS of 1,492. NL MVP so far? Absolutely.
Who's second? Wilson Ramos.
Wilson Ramos, the catcher. The catcher from the Detroit Tigers has popped off for six homers, only eight ribbies. So people get on base for him, Detroit.
It's pretty insane.
This guy's got six bombs. A guy who in 3,000 at bats has hit only 100 homers, and he's got six already. Buxton with five, Devers five, Escobar, Martinez, Ryan McMahon, Tyler Naquin all with five. Castellanos, we were talking about him leading the league last year with like four homers. None in the past few games. Mercedes came out of nowhere, hitting .476 right now at the top of the average board. RBIs, JD 16. There.
Goodness.
Stolen bases. Ramon Laureano. How many do you think? Stolen bases. Four? The lost art.
Nine.
Eight.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
That is a lot.
What is our guest Garrett Ostro call him? Razor Ramon, Razor Ramon Laureano, something like that.
Is that did he?
Yeah, he sure did. take a look at the ERA leaders. I mean, Yunis and Carlos Rodon, who just threw a no-no. And Joe Ross, who has like one star, all of them at zero ERA. We'll throw them out of here because I want to see guys who have multiple starts already. Joe Musgrove, 0.47. Corbin Burns, 0.49. Tyler Glasnow, 0.46. DeGrom, 0.64. Marcus Stroman, we talked about him, 0.75. Pitching is getting it done in elite stuff this year. Take a look at the strikeouts. Who's leading? Who are you going to guess?
Shane Bieber.
Yep. Yeah.
How many do you think, Lennon?
Well, like 32.
Three starts in the books, 35 Ks. Corbin Burns second with 30. Glasnow, Colin Bauer tied for third at 29 a pop.
It's pretty good.
Early on, who would you say MVP Cy Young?
Definitely Corey Seager for NL.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me, biased, of course. But, it's obvious.
Corey Seager.
Bauer's looking pretty good.
He's 356, a homer, eight RBIs, OPS over 1,000. And you're going Bauer?
Consistency.
For the AL, my MVP is Ohtani.
Okay.
He's been cracking the ball. How many strikeouts does he have this season?
He only has like one start this season, though, too.
One start, 4 2/3, 7 Ks. You take a look at the batting, 340, four homers, 12 ribbies, two stolen bases. My NL MVP, I would have to give it to Acuna.
Yeah.
Right now. Cy Young for the NL, I definitely agree with Jacob, with Bauer. In the AL, I go Bieber early on. And in the AL, my AL MVP early on.
I don't even know.
I get it. I'd probably give it to Mike Trout. Yay, the homer pick. Anyways, any other crazy things that you guys want to talk about from this week?
How about that game ending with the Angels? How Fletcher got caught up at third And Salvador Perez, that was crazy.
Wild pitch.
The
game.
The Angels were down by one run. Bases loaded. Yep. Jared Walsh is batting with two outs.
Yep.
Walsh takes a pitch. It's in the dirt. It bounces off his nutsack. Goes off to the side. Perez grabs the ball and throws it to third. And Fletcher gets out.
Salvi. You know, I wish you could get awarded points for fantasy for stuff like that, because my guys just – the guys I have on my team are just – they got this swagger to them that these other players don't have.
They got that it factor. Like, I want – yeah. Just like, come on, you want points for, like, a gold chain?
No, I want points for game-winning out at third base.
Yeah, that's nice. It was a crazy bounce. Literally wild pitch.
It was a crazy
away,
bounce.
Away from the lefty Jared Walsh. Gets into the catcher, Salvi Perez. Bounces back off the cup, as Lennon said, his nutsack. Off of Walsh. Bounces right back into the waiting hands of Salvi Perez, who gets it and Fletcher's out. I mean, yeah, even if the ball is in the dirt, I don't think Fletcher's not coming home on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like it was going to get away.
Way more farther.
It looked, yeah, it was going to get away if it doesn't bounce. So, it's crazy, I mean,
bang, bang, throw. You got to give credit to Perez, who saw the ball go one way and then looks up and then, oh, here's the ball. Let me gun it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, kudos to them. My thing that I'm looking at this past week was Carlos Rodon. Perfect game in the ninth inning. One out. Yeah. Back foot slider, gets a piece of Perez. And he's kind of jawing at Perez, like, come on, man. You didn't want to get out of the way of that? You could have gotten out of the way of
but
that.
But you don't.
But he didn't, and he took it.
I mean, I'd take it too. Naylor? I'd take Naylor, it. No-hitter Naylor over almost, perfect.
Naylor almost got the no-no imperfect game with a head-first slide in the first. With the first out in the ninth inning.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Abreu pulled a groin getting over there to first. It was crazy.
What a play.
I thought the umps just called him out right away just to do it, to preserve the perfect game, because you don't want to have another case of what happened to our good old Detroit.
What was that guy's name?
I forget the umpire's name, and I forget his name. But you know what? It happens. Miggy just
hands on his head. But yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Like, replay, folks.
Oh yeah, it was.
So they go to replay and it confirms that he does kind of beat him barely there, but jeez, I thought it was gonna
I heard that he's been trying to like get his perfect game like put in or recognized.
I think they call it the imperfect game. The imperfect game. All right, week three is just around the corner, starting tomorrow, Friday, the weekend series. What are you both looking forward to for week three in MLB baseball? I'm looking forward to one thing only, the drip, Tatis Jr. coming back possibly as early as tomorrow to kick off our first series between the Dodgers, Padres. Let's get it going. I want rivalry action. And who do we have throwing? Who's throwing? We got Kershaw going, Bauer, and who's
Bauer and Bueller.
Oh, Bueller. Man. Kershaw got a pimp job off
Bueller.
Trent Grisham pimped one off Kershaw last year. You know Bauer is going to get in the mix. And Bueller, whoo-wee. It's going to be fun. Fireworks, Dodgers, Padres. Can't miss baseball this weekend. That's what I'm looking forward to. What about you two?
Yeah.
Same series, honestly.
Yeah.
Jake? And then also, I want to see if the Mariners could keep it up.
Okay. So, a look at the Mariners.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I got to watch them. Yeah, I got to see what's up with them. For me, though, I want to keep my eye on the AL Central.
Yeah.
See what the Twins, White Sox, all five of those teams do during this week. See where the standings end up. And, the Dodgers-Padres series. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be good. By the way, the Mariners, we're going to find out soon. Three-game series at home this weekend against the Astros. Two-game mini-series at home Monday, Tuesday against the Dodgers. And then they kick off a four-game series on the road on Thursday against the Red Sox. So this might be the last time we see the Mariners at the top of the division. So take a snapshot of it, Mariners fans. It's selling season next. All righty. It is almost at August, but it's April 15th, which means it's Jackie Robinson Day across MLB. So why not for our game, we do what I call over-under. I'm going to give you a number and you're going to have to guess, did Jackie go over that or under that with his career numbers? And it's going to be absolutely boggling. So shout out to Jackie Robinson.
Yes, sir.
The color barrier coming over from the Black Leagues and doing his thing, paving the way for a lot of talented players. And then also shout out to, I think I'm going to pronounce this right, Larry Dobby. The first African-American, is it Dobby? Dobby? Mm-hmm. Dobby is like Harry Potter, right? Sorry, Larry. Anyways, Larry, he is. Comes over breaking the color barrier for the American League side of things. So again, just lifting those voices in those athletes' names once again. But let's get started. All righty. Jackie Robinson. Did he play for one team only, or did he play for two teams only? Over under one team, or I mean, over under 1.5.
Okay, let me ask you this: Are we only counting?
Only counting MLB teams. MLB? Only counting MLB. MLB.
Yeah.
Yes. So, in other words, you know he played for at least one team, but did he play for a different team or not?
One team. No. One team. Yeah, I'm going one team.
Correct. Only with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Okay, I was worried. I was like, did he really play for a second team?
All right, here we go.
But
his career stolen bases, was it over or under 200? Over or under?
Over.
200. Jacob saying over?
No. Nah, you're saying over? Yeah, I'm saying over.
197.
Oh, you're lying, my
really?
Goodness. 197 career stolen bases.
I thought that's like all he.
I thought it would have been like 201.
Because in that 42 movie, he was stealing bases left and right. I was like, okay.
All righty. Here we go. Over for season high in stolen bases. Over or under 35? Over or under 35?
Under.
I say over.
37. Over is indeed.
Oh, let's go. Wow. Can we get extra points for trying to guess?
Which, by the way.
The number?
Yeah, you could guess the number.
All right.
Career walks and career strikeouts. Did he have more walks or strikeouts in his career?
More walks.
More strikeouts.
More walks. He had more walks. Ooh. If we were to guess a number of how many more times he walked than struck out, what would you say?
What, like 100?
I say 50. I say over. You say 50? Mm-hmm. He walked over more than 10 times and he struck out.
He walked 449 more times than he struck out.
God,
that's insane. Are you serious? Oh my God.
This man was a contact beast. He had an eye like no other. Career batting average.
Gosh.
Over 300 or under 300?
Over.
311, correcto. Career on base percentage. Over 400, under 400?
Over 450.
I'll say at least like probably like 442.
409.
42? Really?
I see what he did there. You saw that?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Okay.
Over under 1.5 MVPs. Over or under 1.5 MVPs?
What do you mean?
Under.
What do you mean? 1.5.
1.5 so, yeah, means either at one or more.
Or he had one.
Oh, under.
He only had one, yeah. Over or under 4 All-Star appearances?
Over.
Under.
6.
Oh.
6. All right, here we go. Career big flies. Over or under 20 homers in a season for his career, or not career, for single season best, over or under 20?
Under.
I'll probably say like 22, 23.
I'm saying 19 under. Best.
19 best, correct,
oh, Jacob.
Get out of here, Jacob.
Back-to-back years with 19 in 1951, 1952. Career homers, over or under 175?
Over.
That's tough. 175 is like so little though, but back then they hit home runs. I'm gonna say under.
Where would you guess?
Probably like not by far either. I'll probably say like 172 because he's like doing that. Oh, you're being like 3 under or something.
Okay. What if I told you his career homers was 137?
I was gonna say 142 instead, but no, okay.
137. Okay, RBI total. Career best, over or under 100 RBIs in a single season?
Under.
Under. Did you know? Yeah, under.
Over. Drove in 124.
Okay. Are you serious?
Career best in his MVP 1949 season.
God, 124 RBIs.
16 homers, 124 ribbies. Career runs batted in, over or under 700?
Under.
I'll go with over.
Bingo.
By a long.
734.
Over by a mile. Okay, not that bad.
All righty, we got 2 more for you. Hits and then war.
Ooh.
Hits. I wouldn't know about war at all.
Hits. Over or under 2,000 hits?
Under.
I say over.
1,518. Well short of the 2K mark.
Dang.
Career war. Over or under 55?
Under.
No, I'm gonna say under for Jacob said it.
54.
61.7.
Oh, it's pretty good.
All right. So that's gonna wrap things up. Okay. I don't know where. What's Trout?
What's Trout's career war at?
I'll take a look right now for you. But as I'm taking a look at that, how many seasons do you think Jackie played?
I don't know, like 12 or 11?
13.
Only 10 years. Trout's career war is at 75.2.
That's how, like, if you, that's how you can measure Len players.
How do you even like check that though? Like how does it go higher?
You don't. The baseball guys just gave us this and we roll with it. War just accumulates on its own. We don't know how. No, I'm just
alrighty.
Kidding.
That's going to wrap up week 2 of MLB baseball, folks. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Chatter. Jacob, any last words? Lennon, any last words?
Happy Jackie Robinson Day. And yeah, Lennon.
Yeah, that's it for me too.
Alrighty. I'll give out the go-ahead cue today. Peace out, everybody. Dodgers, Padres, can't miss baseball. What are the Mariners doing? Figure it out. And then what is else? What else are you guys looking forward to?
AL Central.
AL Central. Dialed in on the White Sox and Twinkies down at the bottom of the division. Turning things around, those two teams are. Coming off a no-no for the White Sox and the Twinkies. A walk-off off of Adam Ottavino against the hottest team in baseball, the Boston Red Sox. So can't miss baseball. Week 3 coming at you soon. Peace.